Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They say there are only two, count them, two certainties in life: death and taxes. I'm going to add a third certainty: the Raiders in the fourth quarter with a little bit of magic.
Carr looking left, lobbing for the end zone for Robert. He made the catch. Touchdown! Raiders! Singled up right. Derek Carr got a handoff to Murray off the left side of cutback. Touchdown! Raiders! Built in the gun. Slot left. Olsen runs it out. Cut. They fake that. They spread. Intercepted by Khalil Mack. Derek, a low snap, catches it, Cox throws for the end zone, Cox, touchdown, Raiders, Clyde Wolfers is back on fourth down, time, ball got stripped, the ball is three, the Raiders will take over on downs, the Raiders are 9-2, how did they win this one, what a game.
Greg Papa at his absolute finest, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Alongside Lo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenball. This is Mornings with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of Derek Carr, he's going to join JT the Brick at 10:45 a.m. today. Action Jack Del Rio joins Damon Bruce at 3:30. Boys, it's great to see you. You look refreshed. You look re-energized after the Thanksgiving break. Did everyone have a nice time with family?
Yeah, very nice time. It was good to see the folks in Petaluma. Stayed the night at Hotel Petaluma. Funky old spot there, Lo. I was able to get my thirst quenched.
Yeah.
Jump in an Uber. Everyone was safe and sound.
Yeah, me and Joe, we spent a couple days, not a couple days, a day in Petaluma. Had some fine beers there.
Yeah, last year. I remember that.
Yeah, had a good
Lagunitas.
Time. Lagunitas.
Ooh, that's the power of Lo Neal there. They recognized him, and we were going to do the tasting and then the tour. And they recognized, like, man, you're Lo Neal. So we skipped the tour, and we just sat in the tasting room with them drinking for about 3 hours.
Look at that.
Awesome.
Look at Lo Neal.
Those guys were awesome.
Yeah.
It's the only
good
time.
People.
Yeah. Every now and again, Lo Neal.
Oh,
every now and again, Lo Neal. He's good
flag
for something.
He's constantly doing, man.
More on that. More on that. We will get into that. We will get into that and so much more. JD, in just a minute, but here comes your sports update.
And it has to be led, Joe, by the Raiders. Had a 24-7 lead at the half, but Carolina scored 25 unanswered. The Raiders gutted out 35-32 over the Panthers. They're 9-2. The head coach, Jack Del Rio, on how they did it.
Proud of our guys for hanging in there and finding a way. You know, it's been a theme for us this year. The first half was really good. The third quarter was really tough. And then we came back and finished and won the game. So really proud of our guys for keeping their poise and staying with it and making enough plays to win today against a really good football team.
Derek Carr shakes off a dislocated pinky, low, comes back and leads the team to the victory. How about your kid from Fresburg?
Man, come on. Let's be real, Dibs. The guy is Superman without the cape. You think you can hold him down, dislocated pinky, that think that's going to be his kryptonite? Not so fast. No. This guy comes back, and he's absolutely amazing.
Raiders guaranteed a winning record, Joe, for the first time since 2002.
Eight. Count them. Eight of the 11 games the Raiders have played this season have been decided by one score. One score. The Cardiac Kids at it again yesterday. Derek Carr, just one of several players stepping up to make big-time plays in big-time spots.
And you owe a number of lunches. We'll get into that.
Waiting for the end of the update. I will give you the lunch bet update. I believe I owe at least one-third of the Bay Area lunch.
Story number two, Colin Kaepernick plays well amid the boos in Miami, but the Niners dropped their 10th straight, 31-24. Too much, Leonte Carew.
And it is into the end zone. First time in the career for the rookie, Leonte Carew.
Should I scramble to pick him up in my fantasy league, Lo? Or should we let Leonte's lie?
Punt, pass on that guy, man.
Guys I've never even heard of are tearing apart the Niners now. I mean, come on.
All right.
All day when I was watching that to my 13-year-old, Tannehan. He loves it, dude.
He like that?
My boy loves Tannehill. By the way, the Niners will stay in Florida ahead of the game against Chicago. Warriors 15-2. They've won 11 in a row. They've got Atlanta up next. The update brought to you by Nissan. Get the Nissan's Go Rogue Year event.
Do it, Dibs.
For special Black Friday savings on the new 2017 Rogue. Take on any galaxy. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today. I'm Dan Diblett. On your home of the Warriors, low. It's 95.7 The Game, Coach.
My man.
That may have been the most athletic update we've ever had here. For those behind the scenes, Dibs dropped one of his sheets that he needed. I'm not sure which one.
Dropped my copy.
Couldn't get to it. Had to keep his mouth in front of the microphone. Did a little limbo situation to get to the paper while delivering the update. That was as athletic a play as I've ever seen.
Appreciate
Dibs.
It. I'm day-to-day now with a hamstring issue.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
Thank you for that.
Bill Romanowski would cut it off.
Okay.
This is a day of acknowledgments. We're not always right, myself included. And I had the Raiders before the season started at 8-8. I thought they were a year away. I thought they'd miss the playoffs. I have been proven dead wrong as this team sits 9-2, and we haven't even flipped the calendar to December. As a result, I owe several lunches across the Bay Area. Anthony in San Jose called up this morning. Tamir and others hit me up via social media last night. If I owe you lunch, feel free to call in and bash me good. I deserve it. No excuses there. The Raiders at 9-2, first winning season since 2002. To the phones we go. He was at the game yesterday, 95.7 The Game. Super reporter John Dickinson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, JD. How was your Thanksgiving break?
Thanksgiving break was tremendous, gentlemen, and count me among those that are officially wrong about this Raiders team, or at least on the brink. I had them at 9-7, felt 10-6 was probably the ceiling, but had them 9-7, thinking they'd be in the playoff mix. But no way did I have them 9-2 with five games to go. So it's just tremendous. They've been able to find ways to win and then use that to improve week to week, and they just kind of keep it rolling now.
Now, we don't call you our super reporter because we think it's funny. We call you our super reporter because you are everywhere covering everything that's going on in the Bay Area. We kicked around this topic earlier, and we're going to get into it more with the listeners in a bit. But for all the years you've covered all the teams in the Bay, which team has been more exciting to watch, just from a watchability standpoint, the Raiders this season or the Golden State Warriors? Because for a while there, last 2 years at least, the Warriors were the most exciting watch in all of sports. Now suddenly the Raiders, the cardiac kids, which do you think is more exciting?
I think right now it's the Raiders, just because the games are so entertaining and you don't know whether they're going to win or not. I think the Warriors have developed this thing to a point where it's exciting. It's tremendous basketball. It's up and down. It's showtime. It almost feels like it's taking you back to what, you know, the 80s were like when the Lakers were playing the Celtics and just running people out. And there were celebrities everywhere in the arena. It feels like almost a throwback to that time at Oracle. But you feel like the Warriors are going to win every game. So I think a little bit of the intrigue is gone for as entertaining as they are. Now, I think you go back a couple of years where the Warriors were first burst, you know, coming on the scene, and they were, you know, the fun team that didn't know whether they could be a championship contender or not. And I think it was probably equal. But I think right now, for my money, it's the Raiders, just because no matter how the game starts, you always look up and there's 8 minutes to go and it's tied or it's within one score, and you don't know whether Derek Carr's going to be able to make that play or the defense is going to be able to make one more stop, but they figured out a way to do it each and every week here.
JD, is this Raider team a little bit like that Warrior team from 3 years ago, the Warrior team that would eventually lose to the Clippers in Game 7? And I make the comparison in that this Raider team seems to be a couple steps ahead of where everyone thought they would be. Is there that sense for you around this team?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one difference is in the NFL, you know, much like baseball and hockey, more so than the NBA, is a team can have kind of a magical season and win the whole thing. You know, and I didn't think that the Raiders, you know, that was something that was going to be on their radar this season. But you look up at 9-2 and it becomes on the radar when you're tied for the top spot in the AFC and only a tiebreaker puts you in second behind the Patriots. When you get to this point where you're that close to the top and you start talking about having first-round buys and again, being right up there with the likes of the Patriots, you've got a shot. It almost reminds me of the 49ers a little bit in 2011. Nobody thought they were going to be good the first year under Jim Harbaugh, and they just got on a roll where all of a sudden you looked up this time of year and they only had two losses, and they wound up 13-3, and you thought, well, could this team really win the Super Bowl? And I know that was more of a defensive-oriented team. The Raiders clearly more of an offensive-oriented team, but I think they kind of remind me of that Niners team where you think, wow, can they really win it all? And then they got in the playoffs, and they won the incredible game against the Saints, and before you know it, they were in overtime against the Giants with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I think while it's been a slow build for this Raiders team, and you find yourself kind of pinching yourself saying, are they really capable of doing this? Well, I think they're showing week in and week out that they are capable of doing it. And the NFL, more than the NBA, you can kind of have that magical run where the NBA, that top flight talent tends to always win out, and a team that is a year away stays a year away in terms of winning that championship.
JD, in week 1-4, you found out things about the Raiders, you know, in games, close games, finding a way to win, and they continue to do that. What are you thinking about the Raiders now, from then to now in week 9, week 10, and they're still right there? What is your opinion of this team now? Who are they?
Well, they win all the big moments. I mean, they've become a team that wins all the big moments, or at least the moments where it's win or lose at the end of the game. Now, they may play great for a stretch. They may play terrible for a stretch in a lot of these games. And if you look at it week in, week out, you could pick out points, I think, where they're great and points where they're awful in every one of these. But regardless, the game is winnable in the final quarter, and they find ways to make those plays. And I think just the difference between this team at 9-2 and maybe where I figured they would be, and I thought they'd probably be a 7-4 type team at this point in the season, but the difference is they've won every single one of these games going back here for the last month plus, whereas going into the season, I would have thought, okay, maybe instead of being 5-6-0, they'd be 4-2, you know, over this last stretch, and it would add up to a 7-4. So it's just a play here or a play there, I think maybe would have gone against them, and that would change the overall record. But when you look back on it, they've made that critical play in every one of these games, and now they're 9-2. I mean, you know, Lo, the NFL, it's a fine line. And Derek Carr talks about this almost every week. He feels that the league is built to be 8-8 for every single team, and it becomes just a play here, a play there, and that turns some teams from 8 down to 4 or from 8 all the way up to 12. And the Raiders are one of those teams that looks like they're close to 8, but they're going to turn it into maybe 12 or even more.
95.7 The Game, Super Reporter John Dickinson with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JD, thank you so much for your time. Great to catch up with you again, and we're looking forward to it later in the week, my man.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Raider Monday is brought to you by Antioch Toyota. Go to AntiochToyota.com today and the Oaks Card Club. He said something interesting. This team, they're always in it, right? They're always in it. You know who they remind me of? And not from their build, because this was a defensive-minded team. The 2007 New York Giants, who won the 2008 Super Bowl against the Patriots. Go back and watch that team. Not as explosive offensively as this team. They did it with Strahan and Tuck and Kiwanuka and all those guys on defense. I get that. But the way in which they did it, they always were eking it out late. That entire playoff run, they needed to make plays late against Tampa in the first round. They needed to make plays late against Dallas. They needed to make plays late against Green Bay. And they needed to make plays late against Brady's 18-0 Patriot team that ended up losing. That's what it is. Just put yourself in a position to win. This isn't college football. You're not going to be blowing people out. You're not going to be up 3 scores late where you can hang on. Put yourself in a position to win. And this team's confidence in those spots, that's your make or break situation. A lot of teams wilt in those spots. You see a lot of players fold up shop because they don't understand how to handle the situation. The Raiders learned about this last year. Now they're closing out late. I don't think a scenario exists that you could put them in where they'd say, we're done, right, outside of being down 35 with a couple minutes to play.
You're absolutely right. And then when you were asking, hey, does this remind you of this Dub team 3 years ago that, you know, lost the first round? The difference is that Dub team barely got in. They weren't a high seed. This Raider team, when you think about it, with 5 games remaining, it's pretty amazing where they're at. They're at the top of the food chain. It's not like everyone's looking. And just I think it's the perception is the way that they're winning. people say, who are the Raiders? Oh, this team should have lost this. No, if and ands and buts was candies and nuts, we would all have a Merry Christmas.
More on that in about a minute, but here is your Raiders on the 15.
It's time for Raiders on the 15.
Raiders on the 15 brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Window Dibs. What did you love yesterday?
Well, you got to go with Michael Crabtree on this one. Such a monster on third down. So many critical catches, and he performed big time in a spot where they needed to have catches, including late in the football game, deep down the field, goes up in one-on-one coverage against the linebacker, secures the ball, 8 grabs for the game, setting up the game-winning field goal from Sebastian Janikowski. Michael Crabtree coming back after a pretty down game by his standards with a monster performance at home.
Crabtree was a beast. Lo, what stood out to you?
To me, I always say offense entertains, but defense wins championships. Hand down, man down. What do I mean by that? I thought the last team with the ball wins that game, but guess who had the ball last? The Carolina Panthers. But then who came up? Who had that big hand in there? Khalil Mack. This defense, they binned yesterday, but in the opportune situation, they stood up and made a play when they had to in the fourth.
So you're talking about Khalil Mack, who over his last 6 games, rumors of his demise early in the season greatly exaggerated. Last 6 games, 7 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 29 total tackles, a pick 6, and oh, by the way, as Lo was talking about, the game-winning strip sack recovery. For me, Clive Walford. Haven't talked about him much this season. Hasn't really emerged as that big play threat at tight end that we thought he was going to be. But he's still young, and given the opportunity yesterday, he played huge for the Raiders. Don't get caught up in the box score, which was still impressive. Only targeted 4 times, but caught 3 of those targets for 43 yards and a huge touchdown in the back of the end zone. Huge touchdown to go up and get that ball. But he was outstanding in run blocking yesterday. That offensive line, they've been road graders all season long, but Clive Walford stepped up, and he played a huge game as well. Raiders on the 15 brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows, and Raider Mondays brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little, save a lot, as well as, yeah, you guessed it, Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Woo! Yeah. I mean, I was sweating at the end of that game yesterday. Yeah, I didn't even care about the Sunday nighter, but here's the situation we're in. Here's the situation we are in. 9-2 at the top of the AFC. Last week, you had the top spot. But because New England won a conference game, they now own the tiebreaker temporarily. Looking at this team right now, I mean, Lo, coming off yesterday's game, where's the biggest weakness?
Well, I think, Joe, you hit something. Clyde Walford, I've been talking about it all year long. If this team want to get to where they believe they can go in that Super Bowl, they believe it now. When you're finding a way to win these games and you're taking down teams like Denver and you're taking down teams Carolina and you're coming from behind to figure out a way to win it, you believe. You're looking at the top of the schedule and saying, hey, look, we're right there. We are a number 1 or 2 seed in the National Football League in the AFC. Can't give me this anymore. The Raiders aren't here. No, they're here. And everyone in the National Football League around the league know that their Raiders are here. But I've always been talking about, you talking about Clyde Walford. If they want to get there, the tight end has to be big and has to continue to develop and has to continue to make plays. Anytime you have those two safeties and they're playing too deep and they're playing over the top help on Crabtree and Coop, you got to have a tight end that's too physical for DBs, too strong for safeties, and too fast for linebackers to guard you. He needs to continue to develop, him and Rivera, at the tight end position in this team. If they can continue that, Joe, they can beat anybody.
This team has become the James Bond of the NFL. They dress better than anyone else. They operate in the clutch with ice water running through their veins, just like Bond does. And they've got a whole bevy of little weapons and tricks up their sleeve that no one sees coming. Like Bond with the Aston Martin and all the weapons in that car.
Sure.
Think about this team. Seth Roberts. Dude only shows up in the biggest of situations.
Playmaker.
It's Crabtree on third down. It's Amari Cooper for big plays. You see the same guys over and over. And then, oh, here's Seth Roberts when you need a game-winning touchdown, when you need a fourth down conversion, when you need a two-point conversion. Clive Walford emerging as one of those players as well. And then you go down the running back depth chart. It's Jalen Richard making a big play.
Yeah.
It's DeAndre Washington making a big play. The Oakland Raiders have become the James Bond of the NHL dibs.
That's pretty good. And, you know, you look yesterday, and it wasn't Amari Cooper's best game. 4 catches, but you got contribution from Tywan Jones, who came in and had a
big plays.
Yeah, big plays from Tywan Jones. You know, you're used to seeing Washington or some Alawale. They throw you the curve and give you Tywan Jones. Michael Rivera, a couple of nice catches. Johnny Holton deep down the field for 30 yards. So Derek Carr is using all parts of his Aston Martin as he plays the role of James Bond.
10 different guys caught a pass yesterday or something like that. And that just goes to show you that the guy's not afraid to go to people, Joe. And you want a quarterback like that. You see a lot of quarterbacks get stuck on guys that that's their number one guy. You see what's going on with the Giants. And sometimes that'll get you in trouble. And that's why these guys are making plays in crucial situations. You're talking about Steph Roberts, Clyde Walker, all these different guys. Why? Because Carr gets them all ready for this moment. Everyone's ready. Everyone's buying. In a lot of ways, Joe, when you talk about the Dubs, you say, God, why is the Dubs so unique and so exciting? What does Kerr do? He gets a guy off the bench and say, you're in the game. Yeah. It's your turn to shine. So he's getting so many guys ready for big moments to make plays. And I think this Raiders kind of doing the same thing.
So Kevon Looney is basically like Michael Rivera or Clive Walford.
There we go.
You know?
You got it.
You wait your turn. And if you keep everyone involved, and you know this, Lowe, is the guy who probably didn't get the ball more than one or two or three times in the game.
I know this, coach.
The very fact that you might get the ball keeps you involved in every play, right?
It's true.
Raider tickets to give away at 8:45. That's right. Raiders Bills this Sunday. We're giving away two tickets at 8:45. Lincoln Kennedy is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Derek Carr, your quarterback with JT the Brick at 10:45. And Raider head coach Action Jack Del Rio with Damon Bruce at 3:30. Point of procedure. When are we going to see a decision or hear a decision, I should say, on Alden Smith? Doesn't seem like Goodell's really pushing this issue to get resolved, nor should he.
I heard it's this week.
Alden Smith is on Goodell's time. You think this week he's going to come down with a decision?
I've heard some talk around the league.
Rumblings?
You're a little rumbling, saying that this week he'll get a decision. So good or bad?
How do you feel the decision may go?
Yeah, I think he's going to be back in the game. I think that he could have been reinstated 2 weeks ago, and they kind of waited. So it's showing, hey, look, I'm taking my time with this guy. You want to have a smoke session? I'm going to have a smoke session. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to smoke my cigar.
He sent in a message. It's essentially an additional suspension because he ain't getting paid right now. He's not getting paid for any of this. If he's reinstated, say, Thursday, can we see him in the Buffalo game?
No.
No.
I don't think so. It's no need to. I think you go through practice on Thursday. You get reinstated. Friday, you're back out there. Saturday, you're back out there. Sunday, you go out there before the game, and they work you out. You still get your strength coach to take you through some process, getting some game time situation. And then, you know, next week, you get ready to put your sea legs on.
How do you think it comes down, Dibs?
I think Lowe's right. I mean, you figure they've got to make a decision either way, yay or nay. It's one thing to wait after the deadline passed, and it's been more than a week now, right? It was right before they went to Mexico City. So it's been about 9 or 10 days. You would figure that they would let him know either way, up or down, sooner rather than later. And this week sounds to be about the right time. I think that they're going to reinstate him. I can't imagine if they would keep him out that they would wait to tell him that you're still going to be out.
Yeah, Goodell's always been so considerate of everyone's feelings. I hear what you're saying, though. I'll tell you this. Regarding this Buffalo game, this is one of those dangerous look-ahead spots. This is a good Buffalo team.
Yeah.
They're a motivated Buffalo team. They're still alive in the playoff hunt. They can run the ball as well as anybody in the business. LeSean McCoy is tearing it up. You cannot get caught looking ahead to Thursday night against Kansas City. Because after what the Chiefs did last night in Denver, it's obvious that these two teams are on a collision course for another.
Sir.
You have got to stay focused on the task at hand. This team has done an excellent job of that all season long. But do not get caught overlooking the Buffalo Bills. It's your classic look-ahead spot. It's your classic sandwich spot coming off a big game against the defending NFC champs. This game deserves 100% attention. No reason to believe the coaching staff's going to let that slide by, but just throwing it out there to the fans as well. Do not overlook Rex Ryan and this Buffalo Bills team. Changes, are they in the works for the San Francisco 49ers? Matt Maiocco is up next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Is the Raiders defense good enough to win them a game? Lincoln Kennedy joins us coming up at 8:05. Now back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Here's a question for you. Who wins on a neutral field, the Oakland Raiders or the 2002 Oakland Raiders? You'd be surprised at how they match up from a metric standpoint. That question is posed to you, the listener, in 15 minutes. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. To the phones we go. Matt Maiocco, 49er insider from CSN Bay Area, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Matt. How was your Thanksgiving?
Very good. Very good. Got to spend that with the family before jumping on a flight and coming to Miami. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Beautiful. Great to hear. Now, were you on the conference call last week in which the story evolved from the Miami Herald beat writer who was asking Colin Kaepernick about the Fidel Castro T-shirt?
No, that was a conference call with the Miami media. You know, each week, a player on the other team is on a conference call with the media for the opponent. And so they requested to speak to Colin Kaepernick. And Kaepernick went on the conference call with the Miami media, and he and Armando Salguero had that back and forth. So, yeah, I did hear it, but was not on it.
And compared to all the games on the road you've been to this season, how was the Kaepernick reception in Miami versus other stadiums?
Well, it was loud at the beginning. You know, when he went out onto the field, there were a lot of boos, and then almost immediately – those boos dissipated because on the very first play from scrimmage, I mean, he takes off on a run that picks up a first down. I think he had a 14-yard run, very first play, and there were quite a few 49er fans there. And so the boos faded and light cheers erupted. But I think it's been about the same pretty much everywhere the 49ers have gone. When Kaepernick goes out with the offense to start the game, there are boos. And then they seem to subside as the game goes on.
Team drops its 10th consecutive, but Colin Kaepernick showing real signs of progress. Is there a changing sense within the building that maybe Cap will be their guy for next year?
Well, there's still a lot to be determined there. And probably it starts with who's going to be here with the 49ers. You know, who's going to be making the decisions? Who's going to be the general manager? Who's going to be the head coach? I guess we, at this point, with Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly, we don't know if that tandem is going to remain the same. And then, you know, the 49ers have to decide, Colin Kaepernick has to decide, because for the first time, you know, he has a voice in this. You know, he can opt out of that contract. He can become a free agent. But I think what we've seen here, in his six starts, and although the 49ers are winless during that time, he's an NFL quarterback. And, you know, where he fits in to a team depends on the team. But right now, I think it's pretty clear that the 49ers could do a lot worse than having Kaepernick as their starting quarterback. And you know, whether they do try to keep him, you know, at what price they try to keep him, and then what they do beyond that, you know, there is no rush. I don't think that he'll be signed right away if he opts out of his contract. So the 49ers have some time. You know, they can try to work out a trade. They can see if there's another veteran quarterback out there on the free agent market that they can sign. But I think they can kind of slow play this a little bit and see what they can get and then determine whether Colin Kaepernick fits with whatever style they'll be implementing this year, if they stick with Chip Kelly, if Chip Kelly sticks with the 49ers. But it's looking like Kaepernick is getting better and better every week under Chip Kelly's system.
Matt, what's going on? Did you stay in Miami last night and party like a rock star? Did the team get back on a plane, fly to Chicago to get situated? How is this travel schedule?
Well, I'm still in my hotel room in Fort Lauderdale. The team, after the game, got on a plane and made that quick little jump over from, I think they were flying out of Fort Lauderdale Airport over to Orlando. So the team is in Orlando right now, and they'll be practicing. Today's the players' day off, so some of the guys will be getting treatment. But the team will practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. And then Friday, they'll be heading to Chicago, and they'll pick it up. So they're not making that cross-country flight home to Santa Clara, to San Jose. They're going to remain in Florida, practice here. And the connection is the University of Central Florida football coach is Scott Frost, who was Chip Kelly's offensive coordinator at Oregon. So those two are friends, and the 49ers are going to be taking part in their week right near the Magic Kingdom. So
will they scrimmage against each other?
Say that again?
Will the 49ers scrimmage against the college team?
I don't think they will. No, I don't know if
would they win that game?
I think they'd probably break their losing streak. In fact, I think the way they're playing, if they can play this coming Sunday like they played yesterday, I think they have a pretty good chance of breaking that losing streak against the Chicago Bears.
How's Chip Kelly holding up? We saw Hugh Jackson yesterday break down after a 12th consecutive loss. Chip's now dropped 10 in a row. Is he still putting up the same positive front that he has most of the year?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a tough guy to read. He's a pretty good poker player. I mean, there have been games where you can tell that it's weighed on him more than other games. I think yesterday was one of those games. The other one that really comes to mind is the loss in Arizona. It's the close losses, and he will never say this, that a close loss is worse than a blowout loss. Nobody's going to say that, but you can tell that they are because, you know, some of those blowout losses where, you know, they remain competitive for a while and then the game just falls apart. You know, you kind of look at it and you go, well, you know, nothing they can do there. But I think with these close losses, you know, every mistake is one that, you know, the guys look at, and, you know, whether it's the Garrett Celek fumble at the 15-yard line, whether it's Torrey Smith not making the catch and it turns into an interception. You know, the last play of the game where they come up 2 yards short when Kaepernick goes off to scramble to try to find his way into the end zone. But Chip Kelly's not used to losing. You know, he lost 7 times his entire 4 years at Oregon. You know, he was a 10-win coach his first 2 years with the Eagles. And the one time he dropped below 500, he got canned. Now, I mean, he's not only below 500, he has set the record for the San Francisco 49ers, an organization that started in 1946, he has set the record for losing 10 straight games. And, you know, I think they have 3 more games on the road. So it's going to be difficult for this team to get a win as they close out this season. But I think one of those opportunities is coming up Sunday in Chicago.
Terrific stuff. Matt Maiocco, 49er insider from CSN Bay Area. Matt, thank you for your time. Safe travels. We'll catch up with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Word from the production staff in the back room. Dynamic stuff. Jalen Richard, Oakland Raider running back, joining us at 9:30.
Awesome. God, like he's doing big things.
He's making things happen. Playmaker.
He's kind of quick.
Game changer.
You got something popping over there?
Pop it.
I see you moving around in the chair. No, we're not going to get to that right now. We will get to that story in a little bit. Another update. Lincoln Kennedy will be joining us in 21 minutes. 21 minutes at 8 o'clock. And the phones are going to be open next to you. 2002 Raiders versus the current Raiders. Who wins that game? The metrics are surprisingly balanced, but you've got the veteran Rich Gannon against the upstart and Derek Carr. One thing on the future of Trent Baalke. I was thinking about this yesterday because I think about Trent Baalke with my free time when I'm on vacation.
That's not awkward.
I think we and a lot of the fan base are measuring his performance incorrectly. We are measuring him on wins and losses. I don't think Jed York, the decision maker here, measures him that way. I think it matters, but when you look at the fact that this team is what? $45 million under the cap. $45 million. Second most cap space behind only Cleveland at $47.8 million. I think Jed looks at that and goes, we're saving money. We're not spending a ton of cash. Why spend a ton of cash to lose when we were probably going to lose anyway? I think Trent gets some consideration for that. See, we're using the wrong metric. We are only focused on wins and losses. And by that metric, this team has failed and failed miserably. But from a spending standpoint, think of it kind of like the Oakland A's. Not to say it's the same standpoint, it's the same viewpoint, it's the same approach. But a lot of times it's how can we get the most bang for our buck? Right now, the Niners not spending a lot of money. You got to figure Jed likes that to an extent.
Well, fans hate that.
Of course
they
do.
As a fan, to even hear that, you're thinking, who cares about money saved when you've dropped 10 consecutive games? Fans want to see a winning team, and if they can't see a winning team, they want to see at least a competitive team, a compelling team. And if that's not going to be the case, you at least want to go to a stadium where you can have a good time, get in and out easy, and right now the Niners are missing on all three of those metrics.
And if you win, people will buy. And if you win, you make more money.
True. True. But again, we are not the decision makers. The decision maker down there, to an extent, has to look at the fact that, hey, we're not spending a ton of cash. Also, the question of how's Chip holding up? $6 million per year. I figure he's holding up pretty good, Dibs.
Yeah.
I'd love for these to be my problems. Well, you know, we've lost 10 in a row. Look at my bank account. I'm doing just fine.
But then again, it's about a legacy for these guys. Yeah. He's not, like Mayoko said, he had 7 losses in his entire run at Oregon, and he's dropped 10 in a row.
Hugh Jack's getting paid. He's crying.
Yeah.
Crying.
Man, he's an emotional guy.
He's emotional. Said he hasn't lost a lot of fights.
Raider fans, you're up next. 888-957-9570. You are 9-2. You are on a winning streak. Buffalo's coming to town. You are tied with the Patriots atop the AFC. Time for you to show up on this Monday morning. 888-957-9570. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Being 0-12 is probably the hardest thing ever.
Is the Raiders defense good enough to win them a game? Lincoln Kennedy joins us coming up at 8:05. Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Welcome back. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Raider Nation, we're opening the phones to you. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Bigger concern for you, the Chiefs, the Patriots, or somebody else? It's time to start thinking about big things. It's no longer about squeaking by and grabbing a wild card. It's no longer about fighting for a place in the playoffs. We're looking at a team that could have a first-round bye, could earn the number one overall seed. Then it's going to come down to who you want to face in the playoffs. Who's going to be the most dangerous matchup? Which team poses the biggest obstacle? 888-957-9570. Raider Nation, the phone lines are yours. Step up, make us proud. Rob and San Bruno. Rob and San Bruno, good morning, man. Go ahead.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Hey, I'm a Niners fan, by the way, but I'm going to come out and say this. David Carr is the MVP of the NFL.
The guy
carried the Raiders. He carried them. And my thing is, I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC because they can play all three phases of the game. And Alex Smith is a career 8-1 versus the Raiders. Own it. And then if you look at the Chiefs, they do two things well that the Raiders can't do. They can't cover the tight end. What does Alex Smith does well? He throws to the tight end. They can't stop the run. What does the Chiefs do? They run the ball very well. And the Raiders are undisciplined. They're not very disciplined. Andy Reid is a disciplined coach, and his offense is disciplined. So I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, period. Alex Smith, y'all keep hating on him, but he 8-1. And I want another thing to say. Hardball and Cap both lost close games, right? But Alex Smith is on prime time, playing the best defense, and on the road, down 8, take his team down the field, winning in overtime. Get that man, he's just credit, man. But Carr is the MVP of the league. What he's doing right now, I haven't seen a quarterback since Peyton Manning do what he's doing right now. He's carrying, literally carrying him, because once he went out, they were nothing. Then he came back in with a broken pinky and carried him. That's MVP status right there. That's unbelievable.
You're pretty good, Cuddy. You be
Robin
bringing
Robin San Bruno, we appreciate the phone call. He just pulled a Greg Papa there. Started with something, went on 25 different tangents, brought it all back together.
Nicely done
right there. Disagree with a couple things. When it comes to the Chiefs, they are built for the regular season. Andy Reid is built for the regular season. Alex Smith is built for the regular season. Look at the history of the two when it gets to the playoffs. That's where they flop. They're disciplined right up until the final 2 minutes of a game. Andy Reid has some of the most ferocious, to borrow from my friend Lorenzo Neal, ferocious game management skills in the NFL. There's a reason they win every year in the regular season, but they never get it done in the playoffs. Look at Andy's Eagle teams. For 12 years, never had a problem. One problem, Terrell Owens. That was the only time in 12 years in Philadelphia that guy had a single problem in the locker room. It was always a well-run organization. It was always a disciplined team. It was always a focused team, a productive team, a successful team. Right up until you went up against the best in the business. And then there was poor clock management or something, somehow, some way, someone went wrong. Same thing with reading the playoffs with the Chiefs. You saw what happened in that game against the Colts. You're up, 1,000 points going into the second half? They tanked it because Andy was still throwing the ball. Then he realizes late, too late, that he should have been running it. So then he switches back to the running game. He's a great X's and O's guy. Andy Reid is a great tactician. But when it comes down to game management in the final 2-3 minutes of a game, he cannot stack up with the best in the business in the playoffs. It's just not meant to be. Alex Smith's a nice quarterback, but in the playoffs, sometimes you're going to need to throw for 350 and make some plays. Yeah. Smith's not built to do that. He's not built to come back from 17 down.
I just think if the Raiders are behind, or not necessarily behind, but if the Raiders got to depend on Carr to necessarily go out there and beat up Kansas City, ain't going to beat them. Kansas City, you got to be balanced. Those boy dogs they got on the end, They can get after the quarterback, too. And they're pretty stout against the run. They do the things that the Raiders, they match up good against the Raiders because they're secondary. They can hit you. They're pretty good in coverage. They take away what the Raiders do great, and that's pass the ball. The Raiders got to be balanced when they play against Alex Smith and this team.
And the Raiders run defense, or run offense rather, low. It seems like it's taken a couple of steps back. Is that because they're playing against good defenses, or are they just not finding ways to run the ball?
You know what, Dibs? I can't put my finger on it. You have too good of a line. Me and Joe, we were talking about this morning. They got four offensive linemen maybe going to go to the Pro Bowl. Hudson, your center, Gabe Jackson, KO, you know for sure is going, and Donald Penn. So you got four out of the five guys are probably some of the best offensive linemen, the best offensive line in the AFC. I can't put my finger on why this team is not really just a dominant run team right now.
Lincoln Kennedy in 9 minutes at 8 o'clock. Raider tickets against the Bills. We're giving those away at 8:45. And Jalen Richard, Raider running back, joining us at 9:30. To the phones, Jason in Union City. How was it at the Coliseum yesterday?
Hey, what's up, man? I was at the game. Pardon my crusty voice, but it was so good, like all the positive vibes, man. Raider Nation was rocking, sold out crowd. I mean, like, you know, as soon as Derek Carr came back from that tunnel after the pinky injury, everyone like was roaring. Like our whole system was calling him MVP, MVP for like 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. It was rocking, man, and it was so lit that nobody even noticed overcast. It was that good, and I hope Derek Carr gets, like, you know, in the short week, gets healthy, comes the Bills at home. I hope he gets experience of the exotic blitzes because he's going to need it come playoffs, you know what I mean? Hey, Low, Chad, Chad, you all know, that's what I remember from back in the day.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate the phone call, bro.
He said he was a little crusty, so I was getting ready to honor him with some Krusty the Clown, but not when you clown me. Don't try to clown me like that.
He's still feeling the effects of yesterday's win, if you know what I mean. Still feeling those effects.
We love you, Dibs.
Lo Alexander coming back to town this weekend.
Oh!
Don't forget about Mr. Sack Specialist. He's going to be coming after D.C.
Yeah.
Lo Alexander, good friend. Actually, listen to this
good
program.
Good friend of the show.
Yeah.
We'll have to bring him on this week.
Bring him on.
Cody's already working on it, son. Don't worry. We got things figured out around here.
Thank you, love. Makes me feel better.
Steven in American Canyon. Go ahead, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I just got to say I'm a Niner fan, but I enjoy watching the Raiders because everybody else in my family is a Raider fan. Couple things. One, the Raiders have answered every call. At first, the beginning of the season was kind of mediocre teams, but now their wins are starting to look like playoff type of wins. So, you got to go the hard route. You got to have Tom Brady. You got to be in New England. It's got to be snowing, and they got to win. That's where the revenge game comes in the AFC Championship game.
We're talking about Tuck Rule 2.0, huh?
Yes, absolutely. You got to see it. It's bigger. It's bigger than just the young team of the Raiders now. Now they're going into something even bigger.
Dude, if you started off, I appreciate the phone call, Steven. If you set up the conference championship games with the changing of the guard versus the old dogs, you take Oakland at New England, and you take Dallas at Seattle. Don't worry about who's at home. But Seattle, who's owned the NFC for a few years now, hosting the upstart Cowboys, and you've got the Patriots hosting the upstart Raiders, think about what your storylines are. Think about what your potential Super Bowl matchup is. If you get Dallas-Oakland in the Super Bowl, that is a real possibility. Because I'll tell you something. Watching those Cowboys on Thanksgiving, I think they're the best team in football. They make it look too easy. It is too easy watching Cowboy football right now. Washington is not a bad team. They should not have gone to Pittsburgh in that spot and won. That's a spot. Look at Seattle at Tampa yesterday.
Sure.
All right? Oh, my God. How did that happen? Scheduling spot. Pay attention. Seattle was at New England. Had to travel all the way to New England on the short week after the Buffalo Monday night game. Then they come home and they play Philadelphia. Now you got to travel all the way across the country again to play Tampa, who, by the way, has been winning some games as of late. That's not an easy spot to be in. And you're down Earl Thomas and you lose the game. Those are the spots I'm talking about when we try to analyze situations. The Raiders have been in a lot of spots like that this year. They found ways to rise above. The Cowboys, every spot you throw them in, they're not just winning. They're hammering people. They are mowing. They mowed down the Washington Redskins in that game.
They did. You saw a team that's just bigger, stronger, faster, and physical. They just lay on you. You look at Kirk Cousins. I mean, this guy's going to get paid. need? I mean, got through for darn near 500 yards, 450 yards, and still lost. Dallas just takes the ball, and every time you get close to them, they'll run it down your throat. Prescott will just throw those dink, dink, dunks. Every now and then hit Witten, hit some guys, and just, like you said, Joe, they make it look too easy. Even that game, it was never in doubt. Never in doubt.
Dez Bryant's an afterthought. Dez Bryant used to be the star of that team. He's an afterthought. There'll be a moment in the second quarter where you see him running down the field. You're like, I forgot that these guys have Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching Prescott, I'm watching Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm watching the only team in football where you constantly stare at the offensive line. No disrespect to the Raiders, great O-line. But Dallas's O-line just, I mean, you actually, I tune in to watch the O-line there. I do.
It's fantastic. And what Lowe says about they just lay on them and they lean on them. By the third quarter, the fourth quarter.
No pass rush.
And it's not that defenses are quitting, but you've been going backwards so long, Lowe. It's tough to get out there and put any pressure on Dak Prescott.
It really is, because they wore you down. Your pass rushers are beat. They're tired. They're fatigued because they're trying to stop the run. And all of a sudden now in the fourth quarter, it's easy why Dak can just throw the ball, because they're already beat up. They have no gas in the tank.
Vito in Vacaville. Vito in Vacaville, you're on the show, man. Go ahead.
Hey, morning. How you guys doing? Hey, Dibs. How you doing, brother? Glad to hear you back.
That feels good, Vito. That feels real nice. I'm doing great now. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Hey, guys. Look, I'm not worried about any no team. Only thing I'm worried about is my offensive coordinator, not defensive coordinator. Yesterday, I don't know what the hell Musgrave was thinking on the goal line, man. Run the freaking ball. Our defense, they just had a minute left. After Carr went out, the defense just took some time off. And how do you let those guys get behind you deep? And, hey, guys, Cam Newton is a bad mofo. That guy threw that 80-yard pass off his back foot. So, no, I'm not worried about any team. Just we need to get a better scheming to beat Kansas City. And you're right, Lowe. I don't know. The reason I think we're not running the ball is just scheme. We need to come up with a certain type of scheme, particularly against Kansas City. And if we could do that, hey, man, I'm ready. I'm not worried. It's been a long time. The stadium was rocking yesterday. Let's get it done, guys. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
Thanks, Vito. Appreciate the call.
Raider fans.
I will say one thing, though. I don't want to hear about this Musgrave stuff. I don't want to hear about it. Last year, okay. Beginning of this season, you've got the fifth-ranked offense, which is rolling up 391 yards a game. You've got the fifth-ranked scoring offense, which is rolling up about 28 points per game. You've got a quarterback who's been developed into an MVP candidate, and you're 9-2. All right? Your offensive coordinator is not your problem. I understand we're in a fortunate situation where we can nitpick little things now, but Musgrave is not a problem. In fact, a lot of people, myself included, owe him an apology. Got on him quite a bit last year. A lot of it was deserved. But this year, come on, man, you got the fifth-ranked offense. Do you know how many guys are completely incapable of developing a quality quarterback into a guy that you're seeing in Derek Carr right now? What's Mike McCarthy doing with Aaron Rodgers? They're regressing. What about what the Indianapolis Colts are doing with Andrew Luck? Pagano and Gregson, all they do is get in Andrew Luck's way. They don't do anything to make him better. They make him worse. They're obstacles. And you see that with a lot of players. The San Diego Chargers wasting Phillip Rivers' career. So Musgrave, man, he's done a really nice job. Time for one more. Jason in South Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are things in South Carolina?
Oh, great, man. It's great to be a Raider fan in South Carolina today.
What do you got cooking?
What's that?
What do you got going on?
I just want to check in with you guys, man. I listen to you guys a lot on the internet, so you know it's not easy to get you guys here in South Carolina, and it's great to be a Raider fan, dude. I'm watching a game yesterday, having fun watching the Raiders. You know, I don't get to see many games around here unless you got DirecTV, but this year they're doing the flex and they're putting the Raiders on more and more. I went down to Jacksonville and saw the game live down there, so that was great. But it was just good to see the Raiders bounce back. You know, I thought they were – I wasn't sure what was going to happen yesterday in the second half. It was good to see Crabtree.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.